Bell and Sparling Show, welcome. How are you, John?
I'm very... It's the Bell and Sparling Show.
Oh, the Bell and Sparling Show.
Yeah.
With him, Johnny Sperling.
No.
No?
With him, Martin Bell.
Oh, dear. Who are we? Coming up on the show, we're going to talk about Paul Grady. Very sad. I don't think we ever met him, John, did we?
No, but we know a lot of people that did. O'Grady.
We're going to talk about the curse of Love Island. People that have been famous for about 5 minutes. Wannies. I'm gonna add a little good talk. There's a boob job boom, by the way.
Oh, that's good.
Going to talk about our very own Vicky Michelle from Phoenix. She's appeared on EastEnders, had her first episode last night. Amsterdam, a band in the red light area.
Yeah, I'm quite right.
Paris is on fire. There's protests everywhere. What's next? And Harry Styles is going out with his ex's best mate. Would ya?
I would.
All coming up on the Bell and Sperling Show. Get ready. Good evening, all. Good evening, all. Welcome to the Bell and Sperling Show. And we are not running off to do the Nigel Farage show tonight, but we will be next week.
Where are we going? We're going to Norwich.
Norwich. Yeah.
You ever been to Norwich? Many times.
Loads of times, yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, we did. What did we do there? We did something.
I've done the Norwich, a theatre in Norwich with Terry Alderton when I was doing that. Double egg thing.
Yeah. Nice. It was very funny, wasn't it? It was very funny, wasn't you, both of you? Very funny.
It was funny.
Yeah.
Yes. Less said about that, the better. I want to start talking, Bill.
Yeah.
A little bit of a serious note.
Okay.
Because I've just noticed this. And I personally am getting a bit fed up with it. Less than a third of schools would inform parents if their child was questioning their gender.
Right. What do you mean? What the school?
Well, wouldn't tell them.
What do you mean?
Say that again. If the child came to them and said, "Sir,
yeah,
I feel like a
yeah,
you know,
a different gender, yeah,"
they wouldn't contact the parents.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, yeah, I've heard that.
Well, what's that all about?
Yeah, well, it's
mental, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, I'd want to know if one of my kids, you know, said I'd want to know from school. I've got to tell you, by the way, the school tell you about everything else.
Oh, God.
They're so quick to, they phone me up. I mean, look, I've got to say.
I think it's awful.
Yeah, but no, I like the fact that a school is strict and they phone you up and say, you know.
Is it strict? It's that's not being strict.
What do you think is passing the buck back to the parents?
I don't think it's even passing the buck. I think they're, what's the word? They're being babies. They're like...
Oh, good word, yeah.
They're babies, yeah. You know. It's like, your son's doing... It's like my friend, her son, will throw something across, like a bit of paper or something.
Yeah.
Across the... Or talk in class. Oh, your son was talking in class today.
It's true.
Go away.
I get that. I get them phoning me up.
It's ridiculous.
I had a teacher phone me up His good's honest truth. I was having a bad day.
Yeah.
And the teacher phoned me out, and I see it come up, the school number. I thought, yeah. Here we go.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, look, I won't say my son's name, but they said he's, just to let you know, we was in... Yeah. It was in religious studies, unfortunately.
Oh, yes.
Which I was never a lover of religious studies.
No,
okay? It was time to mess about. And that's terrible. I know that if people listen to that go, you shouldn't do that. But it's one of those classes, that and drama, you could sort of muck around with, couldn't
you? Yeah, but, in all of them. Yeah.
But the teacher said, I was helping somebody and he threw exactly that. He screwed up some paper and threw it at his friend across the face. And
I got the cane for that one. So carry on.
This is the God's honest truth. He said, this is the teacher said, and when I told him not to do that, it was about a minute later, I turned my back and I was doing something else, and he shouted out, "Irons, West Ham." Right? And he said, I sent him out of school, and I sent him out to seclusion or whatever it is, and I said, and he said, "I don't want football chants in my class."
Oh, for God's sake.
And so I said, I sat in the car.
Really?
And I started to think, what do I do here? And I thought, because I used to do that myself, and this is probably where my son has learned it from, his stupid boy. But I said, well, it's not acceptable, is it? And he said, no, it's certainly not acceptable. I said, well, I'll tell you what. I will be having a word with him later on this evening. And I said, I will make sure.
Yes.
This doesn't happen again.
Yes.
And when I come home, he came home and I said, listen, you do not throw paper.
Yes.
You can shout as much about West Ham as you like, though. No, I didn't. I didn't. But I said, look, come on, have a bit of respect for the sake. I said, look, the fact is, John, let's be honest. Who would want the job? Who would want to teach 30 kids? It's hard enough me teaching you something, right? You know?
Well, they did have a struggle with me, I can tell you that.
What's what I'm saying? But you've got to teach 30 of them.
So what? So you've decided to do that? Grow a pair and do it.
For 35 grand a year? It's tough.
Well,
tough
don't do it then.
I agree with that, yeah.
Don't do it. All this complaining and chanting and...
Well, they're striking now, don't
striking.
We?
Don't do it.
Do they think the kids are unhappy that they're striking?
Yeah, what
the kids can't wait for them to strike. My kids came home and went, yeah! It's a party!
Of course they did.
They were on strike.
What I don't understand about people that strike is they go for the job. And you sit there and they go, right, here's the job, blah, 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 blah. And you get so much a year. You get this off, you get that off, blah, blah, blah. And you go, okay. Lovely.
Yeah.
I'll sign up for that.
Yeah.
And then a couple of weeks later, you're striking, saying, I want more.
I agree.
What is that all about?
The only thing I would say about the nurses and the NHS, I don't think they've had a rise for about 15 years or something. That's, I mean, the trouble is they went for too much. They were asking for 25%, and we are in a cost of living crisis. We're all in this.
Well,
me and you, we're self-employed, right?
Yes.
Okay. We're having to do more gigs and more
I don't
work.
Pay myself enough.
You don't pay yourself enough. No, you should pay yourself more.
I really should.
But what I'm saying is our actual cost of living has gone through the roof.
Yes.
Our gig money and stuff like that and the events that we do are going down.
Going down,
because people are saying, we can't afford to pay you. And we're going, well, you still want the work.
Yes,
so
yes.
So you're taking less. They're actually taking, these venues, the electricity and whatnot has gone through the roof.
Yeah.
So they can pay us less. They've still got to put on live acts.
We
can't strike, can we?
We can't strike. Well, we had to split up though in two to do certain
to do gigs
because they can't pay two people.
They can't. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. They can't pay bands anymore.
They can't pay bands.
Yeah.
I mean, years ago I used to do a gig with a band called the Bellies in the early 90s.
That'd be good.
Do you remember them? You remember them, didn't you?
Well, you all had big bellies, yeah.
I didn't at the time.
Nah.
No, I didn't. They were big bellies. My belly wasn't that big.
No, it wasn't.
I was only 25.
Your
at
calves
the time.
Were. You've always had big calves.
Big calves. Yeah. Very big calves. And we were getting, I remember, a gig, 40 quid a gig each. Mm. You couldn't do that now, could you? Mind you, what was that the equivalent of now? 200 quid?
Probably 200 quid is probably what?
40 quid what, in 1992?
Some musicians are getting for various bits and pieces, I would have thought. You know, there's... like I said to you the other day, there's certain people, sax players and bongo players want more money.
Fortunes.
They're going up.
Yeah, they're going up.
They're £10 a penny.
Singers.
No.
That's weird.
Do you know what? It's really funny. I remember us doing that interview with Rick Astley. I was just listening to it on the way here.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, Rick was a good old mate of ours. And we were sort of saying that, you know, quality voices and people like that got diluted massively.
Yes.
With the likes of X Factor, The Voice, and all that. It was just same again. Everyone popped up. Everyone who could half sing was on a TV show.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they just reeled them out every week. There's about 15 people on.
Well, you've only got to look at the people that went on the X Factor. Like, say, Ollie Murs. What was her name? Hello, all right. You know, the teeth.
Who was that?
Married, what's his name?
Oh, Joe Swash.
Yes.
Stacey. Solomon, yeah.
Stacey Solomon.
Yeah.
Rylan is a big example. All of them don't sing anymore.
That's true. Yeah.
Well, Rylan didn't sing.
Well, Ollie does.
Does he still sing?
He's out doing. Yeah.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
But Stacey Solomon didn't, and neither did Rylan.
I suppose we
became presenters.
We got a few out of that. We got.
One went into Coronation Street.
Who
for
was
God's sake.
Who was the other the girl the good singer that we did like out of X Factor?
Oh, God. There was a few, wasn't there?
Yeah. Well, that's what you just said. It was a few. But, you know, there wasn't anyone that you just went, wow, this is amazing. You know, and he's going to have a great career. And this is what we spoke to Rick about.
Well, said, I mean, you know, Harry Styles.
Well, yeah, but you're not a great singer, but a great pop star.
Great pop star.
You know, we will sort of agree on that. Mm. Listen, after this, John, because, by the way, we were going up to do a gig on Thursday with Nigel Farage in Newcastle. And we ended up going out in Newcastle and having an absolutely stonking time.
With the fella from Geordie Shore.
From Geordie Shore, Scotty T.
Nutcase.
Absolute nutcase.
Nutter.
Lovely guy.
He was a nice fella.
Absolute lovely guy.
Yeah.
Him and his best friend, Connor.
He's a nice boy.
Lovely
boy. Lovely
fella. And we went out with them for the night, and I'll be honest with you, I was struggling for 4 days.
Oh, me too, yeah. Weren't I'm you? Still struggling.
Yeah. It was a bit powerful. But on the way up, we were playing Golden Slumbers by the Beatles.
Oh, yeah.
And I was looking it up, but I remembered Elbow done the cover of it.
They did.
And at the moment, that's the only version that I can find. So I thought we'll have a little run with Golden Slumbers.
Why not?
Once there was a way to get back home. Once there was a way to get back home. Sleep pretty darling, do not cry, and I will sing a lullaby. Golden slumbers fill your eyes, smile. And I will sing a lullaby. And I will sing a lullaby. Once there was a way to get back homeward. Once there was a way to get back home. Sleep pretty darling, do not cry, and I will sing a lullaby. Golden slumbers fill your eyes, smile. I will sing a lullaby.
What a song, eh? Funny, it took me by surprise. We're just sort of sitting there in a daze, weren't we?
Yeah, it was nice.
It's beautiful. I mean, you're a massive Beatles fan.
Huge.
I picked up on this recently that Paul McCartney, I saw an old video of him doing it live with Clapton, Phil Collins on drums, Mark Knopfler playing guitar.
Yeah, it was lovely, yeah.
And it's just a wonderful... But that goes into about three or four other different songs, doesn't
Phil
it?
Phil Collins on the drums.
I just said that.
Do you know Phil Collins hates Paul McCartney?
No.
Yes. Because in 2001 or two, Phil Collins is a huge Beatles fan.
Yeah.
And he had a copy of A Hard Day's Night. Phil Collins was in the film. Not in A Hard Day's... He was in A Hard Day's Night in the... There's a scene where they're playing in a hall with a lot of fans, and Phil Collins is one of the extras.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he's got a copy of A Hard Day's Night, an original, and he's gone up to Paul McCartney and said, "Hey, Paul, will you sign this for me?"
Mm.
Paul McCartney apparently said, hey, little Phil's a... little fan, look, he's a fan. And he took huge offence to that.
Did he?
Well, because he's Phil Collins now.
Yeah.
You know, oh, little Phil's a fan, look, you know, kind of like demeaning him a little bit.
Did he?
I
mean...
I don't think he meant anything.
So what year would that be?
About 2001.
Okay, because the only reason why I'm thinking, so many videos that I've seen where Phil's playing drums.
Yeah.
And McCartney's on the bill with him.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Like
they knew each other pretty good until he asked him to sign it, and he kind of like
really
made him feel
so
a bit.
They did Live Aid together. They did the Prince's Trust was one of the best nights ever. That had everybody on that bill. I mean, the lineup of that band. I remember watching it. I reckon that's about 1991 or something, right? George Michael came on with. With Paul Young.
Was that the Prince's Trust?
The Prince's Trust. It was just at Wembley Arena. And George wasn't even meant to be there, and he just went down there.
Yeah.
Right. And Paul Young had already gone on and sung Every Time You Go Away. And
can't sing anymore.
Yeah, but he can't. Yeah, Paul Young can't. But Paul Young came back out and he said, "I'm going to introduce George."
Yeah.
And George came out and he said, "I missed the bus, sorry." And he said, "Look, I'll be honest with you, I wasn't coming here, but the only song that I know... you've already sung tonight Every Time You Go Away, so we're going to do it together. We're going to do it again."
Oh, wow.
And they've done it again.
Was it good?
And George just...
Yeah, well, he was an impeccable voice.
George just nailed it.
Yeah.
Made Paul Young look silly.
Well, he
changed the melody.
He
and just. But that whole band was Elton John on piano, Ray Cooper on percussion.
Yeah.
Mark King was on bass from Level
42. That's right, that's right, he was.
Even Brian Adams was playing guitar.
Didn't he? And George Harrison came on. I did "While My Guitar Gently Weeps" with Mark King on bass.
Yeah. And I think nobody had seen Rod Stewart for a long while, and Rod turned up.
Yeah.
And he weren't really with it. I think it was in the Rod days.
Oh, was it?
Where Rod was not Rod.
Yeah.
I think he'd done Sailing, actually.
Oh, did he really?
"We are sailing."
Yeah.
It was like his voice was all crackly. And
yeah, well, it didn't really matter. It always sounded like he was hungover anyway.
Yeah, it did, yeah. Yeah. Well, I was going to just coming back to the... the situation. We were just talking about, we went out with Scotty T last week.
Scotty.
If you know him from Geordie Shore. I'd never seen Geordie Shore ever. Didn't even know
never
the guy
him.
Was.
No, I didn't. We know now.
We were very, very lucky to do the... we're doing the Nigel Farage tour at the moment.
Yeah.
Where we go all over the country.
And it's great, isn't it?
It's brilliant.
It's really good.
And we meet a lot of people. And whatever town you go to, we did it in Bolton with Amir Khan the other week. He was a really lovely guy. But we did it with Malcolm McDonald. The only one who remembers Malcolm McDonald still holds the record for the most goals scored by an England player. 5 goals in one game.
Yeah.
And did you know this story? You were with Scotty T sort of at the bar.
I was.
But Malcolm McDonald told me this story that he said, because he was a massive Newcastle legend and also played for Arsenal.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said one night, he said, I'm retired now. He said, but I'm putting wallpaper up in my living room. He said, and it was all stripes.
Yeah.
It was all stripes.
Yeah.
He said, I'm putting it up. He said, I'm watching the England game on telly. He said,
What year was this?
Gary Lineker's playing, so I would have said...
82?
No,
like 86.
Early 90s.
Oh,
90,
okay.
Sort of 91, 92, or something like that. But anyway, he said, Lineker scored one. Then he's got two. He said, then I thought, okay. He said, then he got three. Got a hat trick. He said, and then got to four, he said, then my name started getting mentioned on the telly going, well, Malcolm McDonald holds a record for five goals. Gary Lineker, equal it. He said, and I'm putting the wallpaper up. He said, I'm getting the ump now. He said, now I'm walking around the room. I've got one eye on the wallpaper, one eye on the telly. Mm. He said, and there was 20 minutes to go. He said, and he hit the post, he hit the body, whatever. He said, he never scored. He said, and I was so relieved.
He said,
I went to bed about 11 o'clock. He said, in the morning, I came downstairs. He said, and I opened the door. He said, normally wallpaper was wonky.
he got so wound up.
It's great. What a lovely fellow, Malcolm McDonald.
He was a really nice legend. Bloke.
Yeah. But going back to that, John, we were talking about the curse of these Love Island people. And me and you have said it for years that they're celebrity for 15 minutes. They go and earn a few quid.
Yeah.
And then they have to go back to normal life.
Yeah, well, you know what my feelings are on Love Island. It's
go on.
Well, I hate it. to put it bluntly.
Sorry.
I don't think I can put it any other way.
I just took a sip of tea. Spat
it. I just think it's vile in every sense of the word. And a lot of people that I know love it. My niece loves it.
Yeah, my wife and my daughter watch it. Yeah.
My niece loves it. I think my sister liked it. I hate it.
Because they get so enrolled in these people's lives and their relationships. The trouble is, when it finishes, and two or three of them might make it, or let's say four
make
of them.
Make it as in, yeah.
When I say make
on Instagram.
It, yeah, they're going to, you know, they're going to go out and endorse a few things, going to make a few quid. Yeah. But the rest of them, have they... do you remember, we were doing... the World Cup in 2018.
18, yes.
And we were performing for William Hill.
William Hill. What, the Paddy Power? Not that one.
No. We were doing the William Hill show with Keith Allen doing Vindaloo.
Yes.
And Razor Ruddock said, he didn't have a gig, and he said, well, I'll come with you. Do you remember?
Yeah.
Kirsty Gallagher was hosting it, okay? Mm. And I remember that night, that two of the... Love Island.
Yes, yes, I remember very well. Up, right? Yeah. You had your picture taken for Persia, didn't you?
No, for my daughter.
For your daughter?
It wasn't that. She said, oh, there's a couple of Love Island girls here. I don't know. And she went, oh, can you get a photo? I said, okay. So anyway, I remember Razor coming to say to us, oh, listen, the organiser just said, can we go and have a photo with this girl off of Love Island?
Yes, that's
right. She was a scouser.
Yeah, yeah.
And
she was a pretty girl.
Yeah, so I said, fair enough. So me, you and Razor go upstairs to have this photo shoot.
That's
with
right.
Girl.
Yeah.
And she shouted out, I'm not going to do her accent, but she shouted out, I'm not ready yet.
Yes.
I'm not ready yet. I'm doing my makeup. And Razor just went, what, you think I'm waiting for you? You've been on telly three times. And you think I'm waiting. And I won't use the words that Razor said.
No.
And we made him right. And so we disappeared.
Yeah.
Now. She thought she'd been released from the house that week, so she was big business for that.
Yeah.
Week. Now, the following week was another England game, and we were doing the same gig.
Yes.
Okay, we went back. I think it was the semi-final, actually, which we got knocked out.
Yeah.
And
Croatia,
right? Mm. The girl that had got released from the Love Island that week, she turns up. Yeah. She's now big business.
Yes.
Everyone wants to have her. The Scouser turns up, and they wouldn't let her in.
Yeah.
I said, sorry, who are you? She said, well, hang on a minute, I was here last week, I was famous last
week. Yeah, you're a chip paper. You're fish and chip paper now.
And do you know what? I just could not believe it. And it just, that spells out what this is all about.
Well, it's getting worse and worse, isn't it, really? I mean,
it's funny, actually. Do you remember Steve Brookstein, who won...
I've spoke to him many times about it.
Yeah.
He hated it. Yeah.
He actually... He won it.
He won the first X Factor.
But he put... I mean, we did a few gigs with him, didn't we?
We did. At the time.
Yeah. And he's now... He lives up in Scotland, and he is quite... You know, he has a bit of a tough time with it all. And he sort of says, when I was famous...
Mm.
And it's a... What a strange... It's almost like that life has gone...
Yeah, but, you know, there are two sides to it for me.
Go on.
I mean, a nice fella, Steve Brookstein, I remember, a very nice fella, very bitter about what happened to him. But really and truthfully, what was going to happen to him, you know? He didn't write. You know, he wasn't a writer.
He wasn't really a writer.
He was a singer of covers.
But there again, how many people do we know that make it that are not writers?
Yeah, lots. But you've got to have something... But there was... He didn't have it. He didn't have it. He won the X Factor, but I'm sorry, he didn't. He didn't have that. He didn't have the X Factor.
Well, he didn't basically. Play. He didn't play the game.
He didn't play the game.
The game was, you know,
and we were there. We were there the night he won it. I think.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, he came. Yes.
Well,
yes.
How much? How much do you reckon he earned in the year that he won X Factor? How much money do you think he earned? Because this is what he told me.
You do know.
For 1 year, for that first year. You've just suddenly cracked it. I think it's around about 2002-ish, just as we were doing Golden Balls and stuff like
well,
that.
Well, he went out of fashion pretty quick, I would say.
So he's got a year. He's got the record deal was with BMG,
yeah.
I suppose, with Psycho.
Out of the urn.
What did he get?
A million.
12 grand.
No.
12 grand.
But that's ridiculous.
£1,000 a month retainer. That's what he got.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he must have earned more personal appearances.
He didn't do any personal appearances because he was governed by Psycho. They put him in to do an album of cover versions. He didn't want to do an album. He wanted to do some more soul-y stuff. They wanted to go down the pop road.
Yeah.
He didn't play the game. And then he couldn't sell. He tried to sell his story.
Yeah.
To earn his money.
Right.
And he'd sell the story for say like 30 grand.
Yeah.
And then the night before it's going to be published, I mean, we've had stuff like this. Mm. You're going to be in the Sun tomorrow. You're going to be night before it gets pulled. Yeah. Max Clifford put a block on it.
Mm.
And Max Clifford basically closed him down.
Did he really?
Yeah. He hates Clifford more than Cal.
Well, he got his way there because Clifford went through a terrible time before he died, didn't he?
Without a doubt. But do you know what? You can resurrect your career.
Yeah.
And we were talking about Rick Astley.
Right.
Yeah,
but he voluntarily retired, really, didn't he?
Yeah.
You know, he didn't want to play the game anymore.
I was listening to our interview with him on the way here and just thinking, you know, Rick sort of said, you know, there's no set rule to having a hit record. You just try something, and if it works, and like he said, and like me and you have said before, you go into a studio, you record something, you go, that is a number one smash.
Yes.
And nobody ever hears it again. It's terrible. And you record something like we did with Sven-Göran Eriksson.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah.
Just thinking, right, okay, we'll write another one next week, and it's changed our life.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
This is the only new sort of site single that I could find of Rick's
at
the moment.
Mm.
So I thought we'd give it a just.
Oh, go on then.
Yeah, should we?
Yeah.
I sort of half remember this one.
Oh, dear.
Get it out a couple of years ago. Give it a go.
Sometimes I just don't feel like waking up. Wanna stay inside my dreams. Sometimes I feel like I am breaking up. Do you know just how that feels? Hope is for the hopeful. It's a dream that never dies. Faith is for the faithful. I see it in your eyes. And I got angels on my side. It's close to breaking. It reminds me of my youth. Hope is for the hopeful. It's a dream that never fades. Faith is for the faithful. And I will not be swayed. 'Cause I got angels on my side. Everything will be alright.
Ricardo of the Astley.
Yes.
Good mate of ours.
Well, we had some very, very funny times with him.
Hello, Trousers. How are you doing?
Hello, Trousers.
Hello, Mrs.
My first band, Babakoto, from 1987, this was, we released a record. It was quite a big thing at the time. We released it on our own record label and stuff, and we got onto Radio 1 A-list. And Radio 1, the first people to play it, was on Mike Reed Singled Out on a Friday night. And the guests were Rick Astley and Carol Decker. Mm. And they reviewed the single, so they
Carol
played the
Decker
record.
From
T'Pau.
T'Pau.
So Mike Reed, yeah, here's a lovely song, my Babakoto. I'll never forget, he went, it's 10 to 6, and played the record.
Yeah.
So afterwards, Carol Decker, she gave us a bit of a hard time. She went, the lyric content, not very... Rick Astley's just going, yeah, I thought it was great, you know, it was a lovely record. You know, it bounced along, lovely start. And I thanked him when we met him. I said to him, he didn't remember.
I mean, he thanked us many times for taking him to Faces nightclub in Gants Hill on a number of occasions.
Yes. We had a great... Do you remember that we did a Christmas show?
At Faces?
It was our first one. And I lost my voice. Mm. Do you remember that?
I do, yeah.
The whole thing, I could not...
99,
it was.
Yeah. And we got Rick up to come.
And we got Rick up.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I just couldn't sing a note.
To sing Never Gonna Give You Up. You did backing vocals.
Yes, we did.
Never Gonna Give You Up.
Yeah. Well, I was miming.
And people just really weren't taking much notice.
No, that's right. No.
I mean, the first time... I took him back to the nightclub and we walked around Faces nightclub. Mm. I remember sort of going up to some, and some girls come up and said, is this your brother?
You did look a lot.
Rick Astley.
Yeah.
He's a lovely man.
Really nice.
Lovely man. He's very rich.
Yeah. Well, that's what he said to me. He said, I said to him, why did you give it up, Rick? And he went, well, I had a truckload of cash.
That's right.
And that's what he said to me. Yeah. I'm not saying that.
He's doubled that now.
He's doubled that now. He's
doubled and trebled it.
I'm quoting him. He has said that on the TV, so I can say that.
Yeah, no, listen, it is well documented. Yeah. You sell 18 million albums, even though you've only probably got 3 credits on the album, you're gonna reel in a bit of dough. Just John. By the way, Vicky Michelle, a good friend of ours, and a regular on Phoenix FM.
Yes,
got a first little gig on EastEnders last night.
Of course, as you know, I'm a big EastEnders fan. Because I've been doing a lot of stuff abroad the last couple of months, I've not caught up yet.
No.
So I've got about 7 before she comes in it.
We was at this charity event a couple
She's
of weeks
lovely.
Ago.
She's lovely, she is.
That I hosted for Phoenix FM. Yes. Was in conjunction. It was for St. Francis Hospice.
Yeah.
And Vicky was there. Mm. And she said, I'm really nervous, you know. I've only got a few episodes at the moment and hopefully it'll go well. I said, well, you're fine. You know,
be fine.
You know Danny Dyer and a few of them. She said, well, Danny's out of it.
No, Danny's gone.
But I didn't know that.
Oh, didn't you?
No.
Yeah, Danny's gone.
So 10 years. I saw an interview with Danny this morning saying he'd been in it 10 years.
Yeah, he was in 10 years, yeah.
And now it's time for him to get out and do some low-budget films.
Look at it.
Yeah.
But I think also he's... he wasn't quite happy there anymore.
Why?
I don't think he got on with Jesse Wallace.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And a lot of people, and I love Jessie.
Yeah. But she was another girl one that used to be the barmaid while we
Real
were
name
doing,
Karen, of Karen, course.
Yeah, exactly.
Real name Karen.
Yeah.
Used to be the barmaid at
the Royal Oak in
Lambeth. Royal Oak, and she was great. Yeah. Good fun.
Do you know this is the Godson Street?
Good fun.
I remember us setting up for a gig. Well, I remember me setting up for a gig. You never set up for a gig. I'm going back to 90, before we had Sven. So you're probably 98, 99, that sort of area.
Yes.
And I remember setting up at the Royal Oak in the daytime, ready for the gig.
Yeah.
And she was the barmaid. And she come in in the afternoon. It was about 4 o'clock. And she went, you never believe it.
Mm.
I've just got a part.
Yeah. I remember that.
And I remember saying, a part in what?
Mm.
And she went, well, I'm an actress. And I went,
yeah, she was doing workshop.
Yeah. And I said, well, what part in what? And she said, in EastEnders. And I was like, really?
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, that was then. So
an iconic character she became.
Is she?
But Yeah, very.
Well, I don't watch it, do I? So.
Oh, God. Iconic. Mm. She's had some of the best storylines. And but a lot of people don't get on with her.
No. Oh, there you go.
No, well, Shane Ritchie used to... Well, at the start, I mean, this is well documented, so I can talk about it. She used to come in the mornings after a night out and, you know, be completely out of it. Mm. And Shane Ritchie used to have to walk her around the... Walk around the place to get her sobered up.
Around the square.
Around the square. Yeah.
Not on the lead.
Not on the lead. No. Yeah, but apparently Danny didn't see eye to eye with her.
There you go.
And there's a famous one with Leslie Grantham who played Dirty Dan.
Grantham. You a Grantham or a Grantham?
I'm a Grantham.
Okay.
Leslie Grantham.
All right.
Or Leslie Grantham. Mm. Whatever. Mm. He's dead. And
Are you an Ian Biella
or Ian Beale?
Ian Beale.
Adam Woodjatt.
Oh yeah.
Mm. That's his name, isn't it?
Yeah.
I met him, you know, at...
Did you?
I met him at... Terry Alderton used to do a... Because he was in EastEnders.
Terry was in EastEnders, yeah.
So he did used to do the EastEnders football thing. And Adam Woodjatt used to kind of run it.
Oh, right, the football team. Right.
Yeah, the football team. And basically, I had a 10-minute conversation with Ian Beale.
Mm.
He is Ian Beale.
About Pete Beale?
No, but he's Ian. Yeah.
Where's your dad?
He is Ian Beale. I mean, literally, there's no acting there.
No. Probably the only member that's in from the start, huh?
Him and Letitia Dean.
Right. Oh, she's in it again, is she?
Oh, she's been in it.
That's a long time since.
She's been in it for years.
What about Mary the Punk?
Mary the Punk did return about 3 months ago for Dot's funeral.
Did she?
She did.
What's she look like?
She looks like Mary the Punk.
Right.
Without being a punk anymore. She hasn't really changed much.
What about the...
Lofty? He was there.
Lofty, yeah.
He came back.
Right. What about the one who used to have the cab firm?
Ali. No, he's never come back.
Is he not?
No. Ali and Sue. Yeah. She tragically died, the woman who played Sue.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
she tragically a few
And the
few years
lovely
ago.
Fella that we used to know who tragically died, Ross Davidson.
Ah.
He was in it, Andy, wasn't he?
Wasn't he lovely, Ross?
Brilliant, yeah, lovely.
Yeah,
fella.
It was a nice bloke.
We did quite
nice
a few gigs for him.
We did.
Listen, your mum wanted to do a request, yeah?
Let's do one for me mum. My mum's sitting at home. She wants to. Well, here's a little story for you quickly. Andy Williams, Can't Get Used to Losing You, is the song she wants because. When she was seeing my dad, it was a little bit naughty on the side.
What are you talking about?
Well, she was married at the time.
Was she really?
Yeah.
What, the Olive Sterling?
The Olive Sterling was married. Yeah. And this is the song that they used to hear when he told you to drive. They used to, shut up. But they were called, you know, they had to go somewhere where they couldn't be seen at the time.
Where did they go?
I think they used to drive up to where we used to live, Stapleford Abbots, went up Bournebridge Lane that way.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, lucky you weren't coming along, weren't it? Because you would have smashed into them. Because in the previous years, you've hit two parked cars, haven't
yes,
you?
Yes, I have. Well, this is the song. And, don't do that. Andy Williams, Can't Get Used to Losing You, for me mum.
Guess there's no use in hanging round. Guess I'll get dressed and do the town. I'll find some crowded avenue, though it will be empty without you. Can't get used to losing you no matter what I try to do. Gonna live my whole life through loving you. Call up some girl I used to know. After I heard her say hello, couldn't think of anything to say. Since you're gone, it happens every day. Can't get used to losing you no matter what I try to do. Somebody waiting
I kidding? Only me. 'Cause no one else could take your place. Guess that I am just a hopeless case. Can't get used to losing you no matter what I try to do. Gonna live my whole life through loving you. I can't get used to losing you no matter what I try to do. Gonna live my whole life through loving you.
Especially for Olive Sperling.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Yes. It's a great song.
Great song. Great. I mean, Eddie Williams.
Covered by in the 80s?
I was going to say that. What,
come on.
Don't tell me. Don't tell me. Don't. Not Boy George.
No. No, you're cold.
I'm very cold. Yeah, but I can feel it. Was it like the beat?
You're absolutely correct. 10 points. Where did that come from?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just, it was that sort
it was
of...
It was the beat. Mirror in the bathroom, beat. That was a big one, wasn't it?
I mean, the beat reminds me of going to Mince and Davis in Romford Market. Mm. That's what it reminds me of. Yes. I wasn't a big beat fan. I was into the Madness and the Specials.
And I wasn't a big beat fan either. Mm. Although, the guy produced the beat, Bob Sargent, went on to produce Baba Kotto in 1988. Yeah.
Right. Well, there you go.
And yeah.
I'm just gonna, by the way, I mean, just talking about that, I'm going to try and dig up just while we're there.
Mm.
A jam single.
Oh yeah.
Purely because
you've had no lunch.
I've had no lunch. You're right. But it just reminds me of that period of time where you had a jam badge on your fishtail
barker. Yeah.
Or you had a Who badge.
Or you had both.
Mm. I think I did have both.
I think.
I was just a complete fashion freak. Just had everything. What was he going to say there, John? I was just going to talk to you about...
Actually, do you know what, Bill? There it is.
What was your story?
There's more salt in bread.
Oh, yeah.
Than crisps.
Just changing the subject. Yeah.
Shop bought bread, as in your Hovis and your... whatever the other one is.
Yeah.
shop bought bread is saltier than crisps. Campaigners are warning. Just two slices of Hovis white, that is, contains up to a fifth of the daily maximum recommended intake. Now, you know, the thing is about this. Mm. Now, my mum, she's a terrible eater. 90 this year, by the way.
Mm.
But she's not a very good eater, my mum.
No.
Doesn't like vegetables. Never has done.
Well, I'm not great.
She's not great, but terrible.
No, you're good with vegetables.
I love vegetables. My mum doesn't like vegetables, doesn't like pasta, and doesn't like rice.
Well, that's good for the carbs.
She's very, very, very limited in what she can eat. But what does she like? She loves salted butter.
Mm.
She loves bread.
Yeah.
And she loves cream cakes, my boy.
And she's
90.
She's still going and getting the shopping. I watch your mum go out in the car.
Yes.
And I watch her carry the shopping bags.
She does.
Two in either hand.
She's incredible.
And then does sort of curls with them.
That's right. And then cartwheels into the house.
Does an Arab spring.
No. She's bless her heart. Her legs are going now. And I do a lot of the driving.
Yeah, but I mean, she does half a marathon.
She does.
So,
but what I'm saying is that that's her favourite food. So and really and truthfully,
yeah. I mean, my mum was a big cream cake eater.
Yeah, she was. Yeah,
look, she didn't. She wasn't particularly that fit, and she was at 76. She went at 76.
She went at 76. But the thing is, unfortunately, Paul O'Grady, who just died.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, your mum did have not a very good heart.
No, she didn't. No, she had three heart attacks.
She had three heart attacks. So. She wasn't going to see old bones, and like Paul O'Grady, he'd had what? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He's had two previous heart attacks, or three, I think.
Oh, had he?
Yes.
Someone said that about that. I wasn't sure. 67. I mean,
once you've got a dodgy ticker, I think.
Yeah, that's the end of it.
Well, I don't think you've got much of a chance of the Queen or the King writing to you when you're 100.
Yeah. Oh, that's something to look forward to, then, isn't it? So.
But your heart's fine though.
Well, I had my, you know, obviously, sadly, I lost my brother and my mum to heart attacks. Yes. So I did go and have my tests. Well, I did at the time, 7 years ago.
Because maybe it's a defect. You know
well,
what
I went to the Harefield, which is the top place, really, you can go. And I had the old dye put in you. Yeah. Goes in from your groin. Yeah. And it goes around all your tubes.
Yeah.
And it shows up, and I was spot on.
But
there again, I do train it most days, don't I?
I don't think it's got anything to do with it.
No,
mate.
I think you might be right.
I think it's in your genes.
Mm. I was a guy I was talking to the other day. I know we're bringing it down a little bit here, but there was a guy, he was at my gig, and he said he was 47, felt ill one day, and he was working with his dad.
Yes.
Strangely, he was a carpet fitter, I think.
Yeah.
And he said, I felt it. Anyway, bang, he's gone, cardiac arrest.
Yeah.
And luckily, they saved him and they got him there, and he had a stent put in, he had one blockage. But I said to the consultant, you know, what sort of level heart attack was it, you know? Mm-hmm. And he said, there's only two.
Yeah.
You survive it.
Or you die.
That's it.
It's true.
Well,
isn't there mild heart? I never understand what mild heart attack is.
At the end of the day, you could just, you know, we've just got to get through it, haven't we?
We've got to get
it's
through
been
it.
Like the cost of living. It's a bit like Carnes Ulez. I'm not going to steam into Carnes Ulez today. And I think we should do this next week. Mm. I really want to have a good chat about Carnes Ulez, because every single thing, I don't know one person, it doesn't matter. In any walk of life, you can get a bit of a, especially now, you get a bit of a divide.
People
go, oh, well, hang on a minute.
Yeah, yeah. Nobody. There isn't.
That agrees with him.
Of course not.
But he's so smug.
He's a horrible little man, isn't he?
So smug.
He's horrible.
Like, yes, we do all want cleaner air. But
it's got nothing to do with politics, by the way.
It's got nothing to do. But also,
he's horrible.
It's got nothing to do with cleaner air, because you can still pay £12.50.
Well, that's exactly right. You pay 12 quid and you can pollute the air, mate. How ridiculous is that?
And next year it'll be £14.50.
Yeah, well, I'll pay 14 quid and pollute the air then.
Just do we like? Have you like, big baby? There was another request.
Another request for my friend Nicola. Lovely Nicola, who wants Aztec Camera, Summer in My Heart.
I love Aztec Camera.
Me too, yeah. Great song.
You know I wasn't a massive album buyer.
No, you wasn't.
At all. But when we with CD players come out, there was only a few. I went into this place in St Paul's. I was working there, and I went to St Paul's, and I thought, well, I've got
our
enough
price?
Money. I don't know what it was. No, it was like it sold CD players, and it had a bit of CD players, but it had a selection of CDs as your starting point. I think, and this was one of them. I got Aztec Camera.
Oh, did you?
And I just absolutely love it. Lead singer Roddy Frame.
Roddy Frame.
Wonderful. Yeah, it's a good choice, this, especially for Nicola. Here we go. especially for Nicola. Bit of Aztec camera. Now, the thing is, John, I was just saying about it, I loved Aztec Camera, and when they sort of first come out, do you remember we was all wearing the sort of Ticinis and the Aless?
The Aless.
Yeah.
Or Elise.
Elise.
What was it? What did you call it? I called it Elise.
Or Elise.
Or Elise.
I think I called it Elise.
Did you, Elise? Yeah. Mm. Or Fila.
Fila. Love Fila.
Fila and
Lacoste.
Lacoste. How many people had a fake Lacoste? Do you remember? You could tell because they were sewn on wonky, weren't they?
Well, I remember people going into like
Lana Scott,
Lily Whites, and Selfridges up London and trying to pick the crocodile off while the assistant wasn't looking. Just try to pick the crocodile off.
Lana Scott was a big one.
But Aztec Camera, they had this. I remember seeing them first time. I think on Top of the Pops, and I've got to. I just wanted to play a little clip of this. Because we're talking about, and I think this was their first single.
Yes,
but they wore Sergio Tacchini track tops.
Did they really?
And they were playing guitars. And I just thought, well, we've got to watch them.
What year were they, Aztec Camera?
Well, if we were wearing Sergio Tacchini track tops, I'm thinking we were talking about 82.
Oh, were they
83?
Were they that early? Because I think that was about 85. That track,
But somewhere in my walk heart. Out to winter. This is I've got an idea. This is the first.
Oh, go on.
The Let's first
have a quick,
single.
Have a quick listen.
Just get a little blast of it.
Yeah. Walk out to winter. Swear I'll be there. Chill will wake you high and dry. You wonder why. Men in the summer.
Great little song, isn't it?
It is a very good song. Listen.
Yeah, go on.
Do you know what? Yeah. You and I,
yeah.
If we're lucky, we could live till 140.
Go on.
Scientists predict for Brits born in the 1950s, hang on a minute, we're 60s.
Right.
A handful
Who
of
is 60s? Sorry? Oh, we were born in the 60s.
We were born in the 60s. Yeah. A handful of people could reach the age of 140 before this century is over, scientists say. Some of those born in the 1950s are on course to keep going after living with years of modern medicine. How about that? What do you reckon?
Would you want to do it?
They've got a picture here. Obviously, this is radio. Somebody who could be 140.
Show me that.
I mean, you don't want to look like that, do you?
What, that woman?
Yes, you don't want to look like that, do you? I mean, she's probably about 60, but...
She looks like...
Just a lot of fags.
She looks like a tortoise.
I mean, why? Why would you want to go to that?
The trouble is, if you do live to 140, 150, and if it's just you, by the way, if it's just
that's
you,
what I mean.
Everybody that you know has gone.
Everyone's gone.
Unless you make new
Even
friends.
Even my mum says, but I mean, she's 90. I mean, all her friends are gone.
Yeah.
Her family's going.
Yeah.
You know, it's you don't want to be on your own, do you? Do you remember that film?
But like I say, unless you make new friends.
What was the film about the bloke who... Oh, I don't know. Walked the. Oh, I can't remember the name
dinosaur.
Of the film.
Right,
no, it was Tom Hanks.
Yeah,
and what's his name? Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
And they were walking to the
big.
No. Oh, I can't remember. It was cold.
We'll have a bit of this then. If in doubt, put Aztec Camera up. I just have a look back if you get a chance to see if they were wearing Sergio Tacchini track tops on top
not
of the
Walk the Line. Not Walk the Line.
What was it?
Tom Hanks about walking towards the electric chair.
Oh,
great film.
Green Mile.
Green Mile. Yeah. Well, you remember at the end of the film, because he'd grabbed hold of his doodahs
right.
and cured him of yeah. that of his illness.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he had a water infection.
A water infection. Yeah. And so he lived. He just lived and lived. Do you remember?
No.
At the end.
Really?
They had given him a lot of, you know, power. So he'd watched his wife die, then his family, then everyone around me. Yeah, yeah.
It
looked, you know, good.
The reason why I won't sort of hang around to London and thought, because I can't remember what happened yesterday. Right? So I know that I'm getting old anyway.
Yeah.
Do you know, I was please God, something that's not wrong, but I got on the motorway.
Yeah.
Because me and you have been sort of going up and down the motorway.
We
lately,
have.
I got on we're going up the M1, we were up the A1, the M6. I got on the M25 and didn't know where I was going. Seriously,
Mind you, talking about that, I mean, when we've had two journeys now, one to Newcastle and...
Bolton,
right? Both times that we've gone there, coming home with a great drive home.
Yeah.
Clear as a bell.
Didn't even stop.
Didn't even
slow down.
We get to
120.
Yeah, we get to South Mimms.
M25. Yeah.
Completely to a halt.
Well, didn't we say the other night in Newcastle, everyone's so nice to you.
Newcastle was lovely.
We ended up in a bar.
Yeah, called Filthies.
Filthy McNasties.
Filthy McNasties.
Now, I know, because I did a tour in...
yeah,
in,
you knew it, didn't you?
In Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
There's a bar in there called Filthy McNasties in Belfast, which is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
And I remember talking to some people from Northern Ireland, and I said, I was in your... a fantastic bar in your town last year. And I said, it's called Filthy McStinkies. It's called Filthy McNasties. And I said, no, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I do want to insult you. The last week you want to say is somewhere from Northern Ireland. Mm. But we went out and everyone was going, by the way, Sam Ryder was in that bar the other week.
Sam Ryder was in there with his hood up.
Yeah.
I don't think he wanted to be recognised.
No, but we
did.
Hello, it's another Essex boy over there. But it was fantastic. That was the thing. Everyone's so nice in Newcastle and so nice. And as soon as you get down the motorway and you start getting near the M25, you feel the tension in your arms. It's bad. It's been a great show. We shall look forward to next week's.
Yes, absolutely. We're in Norwich.
Norwich.
For Nigel Farage. Yeah. The penultimate
show. We go to Aberdeen.
Before we go to Aberdeen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, we might have some more dates. But we're going to do, we'll sort of look forward to next week. We'll be back on next week, 6 o'clock till 7 o'clock, where we will make a mad dash to Norwich. I've been Martin Bell.
And I've been Johnny Sperling.
We've been Bell and Sperling. Have a lovely evening, everybody.
Have a lovely evening.